Afternoons with Chad Hastings and Kevin Dunn.
Don't make me have to separate you two again. Damn it.
On the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talk Sports.
Afternoon delight.
Hey, you're my quality control. Captivates your party patrol. You're my body and soul.
How about hour number four on a Tuesday? Kevin Dunn is here. I'm Chad Hastings. Trey Elling producing, getting you the great intros. Thanks again to Roger Clemens for his time today. And again, go to rrcsg.org for the Red River Celebrity Softball Game. Get your tickets Thursday, October 4th, as Roger and the Texas group will take down Toby Keith and that Oklahoma bunch.
Who's this?
Jurassic 5.
Okay, I had one of their CDs. I thought I'd recognize it. Turn that up a little bit. They had a couple good songs. I
already faded it out.
How dare you?
All right, so sometimes you don't plan for the moment when you're going to feel old. You just feel old, but read that headline and tell me that doesn't make you feel old.
Yep.
Forget.
Yep. You got me.
Makes me feel confused also. He's not old enough to be a GM, right?
He went to Duke.
Or experienced enough?
This says 76ers promote Elton Brand to general manager. He had been serving as their VP of basketball ops. I didn't know that.
Oh, he passed the first test. He's single.
Come on.
You're right. I was sending those tweets out creating fake accounts to...
You did that.
To bomb my husband's franchise, and he was, I'm sure, involved in it too.
How dare you bring that up when you were the one doing that the whole time.
Wow. That is odd, and yes, it does make me feel old.
That makes me feel old. Elton Brand is the new GM, apparently, the Sixers.
That's one of the last great championship games where it was really high level against UConn, 99.
Oh, yeah. That was good stuff.
And I think Duke lost that, right?
That?
I felt like they should have won it. That was one of the few Duke teams I rooted for.
Would that have been Khalid El-Amin?
Yeah, Corey Maggette as a sixth man. Freshman.
The El-Amin team in 99. Yeah, that you're right. That was right around that time that it was still...
That was good stuff.
Still high quality before the Maryland, whoever that was, game. That's the one I always remember because I remember you pointing it out that it kind of had that crossroads feel to it. But that game, the Maryland versus...
No,
I can't even remember who it was. The Steve Blake Maryland team.
Yes, Steve against... who was it?
I can't remember who they played, but... Oh.
Michigan State.
There you go. Oh, man.
Yeah, no, we were at, what's the place?
We were Dave and Buster's.
Dave and Buster's, right. We were there, and I put my head down. I thought, oh.
Yeah.
It's here.
Yeah, I thought you were sick. I didn't realize what kind of sick you were.
It's here.
I didn't realize. Yeah, it was. You were like the guy in the movie that had been telling everybody for an hour to an hour and 15 minutes that the place is haunted, the ghosts are coming. I don't know why you haven't been believing me, but when it all happens, don't say I didn't warn you. And then you're sitting over there in the corner and
everyone's freaking out.
Haunted and the ghosts are
coming
out of the
walls. I'm talking to the ghosts and I go, oh, boo, I'm scared.
I knew you guys were coming. I knew you were coming. I hope you're having a good Tuesday. We are getting ready for, of course, Texas and TCU, starting the breakdown there. Still cleaning up a little bit from the weekend. We talked a little bit of Texas and USC, but also some of the other games from this past weekend.
What are you taking out of the Bears? Let me ask you.
The Chicago Bears?
After last night, how much of that is, and we talked about it with college football, but both early on, you try and balance that. Okay, well, this is a good step for Texas. What does this say about USC? And I felt like last night's one of those.
I'm interested.
With Seattle and Chicago.
Yeah, I'm interested. So clearly Seattle's down.
Right. How down are they and how legit can the Bears be?
I think Seattle is, they're different. I mean, they're not.
Well, they showed it with that weird graphic where guys were exploding last night.
Yeah.
The 11 guys on the defense from the Super Bowl, and there's
right.
only three left.
They are very we know they're super different from the Super Bowl teams, but they're just a different group. Russell Wilson's running for his life. They're trying to find running backs that can help him out. They're trying to find receivers that can help him out. They're different. They're older. So I can't take a ton. I can't say, oh, my God, the Bears are, you know. What I wanted to see, I pulled up their schedule. They host the Patriots coming up. that might tell us a little, obviously.
That's a loss.
The other game I was looking for in division, it's not until November 18th, but the first time they play the Vikings, I'll really be interested to watch that game.
I like this next week.
Where are they next week? Cardinals?
Yeah.
Oh, they should win that. That's another one. They should be able to go west and beat them.
Right.
Handily.
They should be 2-1. I don't know about the Bucks.
Now,
I've been dead wrong about them. I have no idea.
Yeah, but the thing with the Bears that's fun to watch for me, again, I was raised on defensive football and raised to appreciate it. It is really hard, to put together a model airplane if there's someone standing there swiping all the parts away and hitting the glue out of your hand and slapping you in the face as you try to do it.
Right.
Khalil Mack and that defense just take apart every idea you have, and they're going to play teams that block a lot better than Seattle did, but the disruption they can create is so impressive. We've talked about Trubisky. Trubisky, to me, has that Joe Burrow feel at LSU. Is he fantastic? No, he's not.
But we're not sure where he fits in between fantastic and game manager.
But he's not throwing gasoline on the fire.
Nope.
He is helping things. He's not hurting things. My two-word answer for the Bears, wild card?
Not this year.
That's what I would say.
Wow.
The absolute
try and finish third in that division.
The tip top for them would be, can they battle for a wild card?
Right. But tip top. Yeah, I got you.
That's where I said I want to see him play Minnesota. We've seen him play Chicago. We've seen him play Green Bay, and they absolutely stayed right with him. So if they can hang out with Minnesota, defense on defense, bar fight of a game, and I don't think either quarterback is elite. Kirk Cousins is going to keep proving me wrong if I say this about him enough. But I want to know, could they actually battle that second-place team for a possible wild card spot in the NFC?
Mac, Smith, they both look good. I mean, Mac has just come in right away and been a game changer.
Roquan's going to be so good.
Roquan at 7 tie, he's going to be really damn good.
He is already, he's already there. I'd forgotten that a guy like Amukamara was even on that team.
Mm-hmm.
I'd lost Prince Amukamara because I think he ended up on a couple of teams.
I
think he was with Jacksonville a couple years ago, I want to say. I think I have that right. And he kind of, bounced around, a little bit of a journeyman guy, but there's talent there, obviously. And I kind of like that team.
Started with the Giants, right?
Yes, I believe, yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right. Jacksonville for a year.
Started with the Giants. Let's see, what else? College-wise, coming up this week, K-State, West Virginia. Virginia didn't play at all because of the hurricane.
See that line?
No, I didn't. I'm guessing West Virginia by a touchdown or more.
It's definitely more. Let me get to it right here. It is
10?
I want to say it was more than that. Your Aggies line is huge. No, 16. West Virginia's favored by 16.
Ooh. I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Old man might go in there and figure that one out. But but then again, that's what we said about a game, two games ago with
him. Right, Mississippi State.
And Mississippi State.
And I was off on that one.
Went 3 touchdowns on him. That's one for Texas fans, obviously, to look in on because you got K-State coming up right after TCU. I'm interested where that is. I think people are going to kind of dismiss Kansas State after what Mississippi State did to
them.
That
usually happens.
And they also played close for a little while with UTSA until they pulled away. Man, I think Bill Snyder is going to still have some math people are going to have to work out.
That line's going to go down. I bet you that line will get down to 2 touchdowns or 13. That may be a little too much. But how about 26.5? Guess what line that is.
26.5?
A&M?
A&M. Alabama's favored by 26.5. What do you think about that there, Chief?
Okay, so we were talking about this during the break. When people think about A&M playing Bama in the SEC, this image pops into their mind. It's not inaccurate, but it doesn't tell the whole story. The image is 59-0. And trust me, it happened. I ate it as a fan.
From
I understand.
Bama beat y'all?
Yes, in Tuscaloosa, 59-0. I think that was the 2014 team.
Oklahoma laughs at that.
As when Kenny Hill when Kenny Hill was falling apart and Kyle Allen was trying to pick it all up.
Oh,
it was that season.
Yeah.
I want to say it was 2014 that happened.
There was a pick six or two in that one.
Oh, my God. But then, if you think about some of those other games, there was a game in College Station where Kyle Allen threw three pick sixes, I want to say.
Okay, that may be the one I'm thinking of.
But by the end of the game, I think it was 11 or 13. There was a game where A&M led in the third quarter by like 14-13, the year that, what's-his-name from Oklahoma was our quarterback? What was that kid's name?
Kyler Murray?
No, the guy that was at Oklahoma, and he transferred for like 1 year. White quarterback. Why can't I think of his name? Anyway.
Why can't we?
I don't know. But then
Mark Ferris. Brandon Stewart.
Alabama went on a run, and there was like a fumble return for a touchdown, and ended up being like a 19-point margin. 26.5 is a lot.
That's a lot.
And I know Alabama's whipping people.
Here's the difference between all the teams you talked about and this one.
Trevor Knight.
There you go. This Bama offense is different.
I know.
They can put up 62 without trying.
And there's one part, Kevin, of the A&M defense that worries me. Guess what it is?
Back end.
Yeah. It's the back end. I haven't rewatched this game, the last game, but apparently...
This is the most talented Bama team on the perimeter I've ever seen.
Apparently, Kevin, in the game that A&M just had, where they won convincingly, no problem, 48-10, there still were some issues on the back end. And that was against... Who did A&M just play? Somebody? I can't even remember who it
Johnston.
Was. ULM is who they just played. So even against the Warhawks... They had a little issue that does concern me. 26.5 is a lot. You know,
That's a lot. It is in Tuscaloosa.
Right, it is. And you know I'm not a betting man, but man, if I was, 26.5. Alabama's done nothing to make us not trust them, Vegas-wise. That's a lot of points, though.
Jerry Jeudy has 11 catches for 6 touchdowns.
He's so good.
287, and Waddle's the real deal. Irv Smith is a legit tight end. Irv Smith... I was talking to Trey about this. Irv Smith backed up Derrick Brown at Notre Dame. His dad did. And then Frank Jacobs, who's third stringer. I mean, that is tight end you if you want to get real about it. But yeah, it is. But Irv was more of a bigger, stronger guy. Uh-huh. And Derrick Brown was 6'7" and just looked the part, was smooth. He would have been a Chad Hastings guy.
Really?
Oh, when 86 came off the bus.
Looked good off the bus.
Oh.
I am the bus checker, you know.
Yeah, he couldn't find a spot to save his life, a soft spot. He just didn't have that feel. Irv did, Jacobs did, but I almost feel like this Irv is like a little bit more of a mix of Derrick Brown with his dad's feel.
I just feel like I need to mention it since you brought it up and set me up. Speaking of Alabama tight ends, did you happen to see O.J. Howard go 75 yards for a touchdown in the NFL?
Freak.
How about that?
Freak.
That doesn't happen every day.
We saw that one coming, though.
Yes, yes.
Like O.J., I mean, the fact that they didn't get O.J. involved. And this, you know, the sad thing, it shows you where you are. Trey mentioned this when we were talking about Irv Smith. Irv, who was looking at Texas, I believe New Orleans kid. He took a blue shirt or a gray shirt?
Whatever you call it, where they're not getting a straight-up scholarship, but they're basically having to wait for one.
The gray shirt, right?
Yeah, gray shirt, yeah.
Yeah. Man, it's...
We're giving him a full ride. It's like, no, I'm going to do this.
It's freaky stuff. How do you cover O.J. Howard? What do you cover him with?
I don't... A safety?
Right?
Derwin James. Or Jalen Ramsey, right. If you want to get on. That's who you cover him with.
Yeah, you're probably right. You're going to have to find a...
A Florida State freak.
a Florida State freaky safety, a damn good nickel corner.
Right.
Find somebody, because he is way too fast to be a tight end.
I don't care how much your linebacker carries the seam and carries it well. It ain't happening with OJ.
Speaking of, back to Bama, did you see the play? The play. They beat Ole Miss by a lot. But the first or second...
The RPO play? You mean the ball went over across the middle and then went for a touchdown? Which one?
Yeah, right. The Jeudy touchdown where Ole Miss actually thought they could cover him from the line of scrimmage. They had a guy walk up to the line of scrimmage, and his job was to jump back out there and cover. He ran right.
It wasn't to misdirect him, because if you're coming up at that point, you gotta get your hands on him.
No, he was not even lined up with him. He was headed in like he was almost like he was faking a blitz, and then tried to back out and chase Jeudy. He ran right by him. It was like a 77-yard bomb or whatever it was. Tua puts it right in his hands. Yeah, this could be, if the Aggies don't do well enough on the back end, it could be that kind of game. It could be an education type of game. It's all about Kellen Mond for me in that game. He needs to be as accurate as he's been. He needs to be as safe with the ball
as he's
been. He's
got to move the chains.
He's got to use his feet, which is what we'll talk about all week with Sam Ellinger. Got to move the sticks with his feet. The running of your quarterback can be really important because it's, you say it all the time, it's the one thing that a mastermind like Nick Saban can't account for.
No.
Quarterback.
Nobody can.
Running. Right? You just can't. So you got to add that to it, and we'll see. We'll see if they can compete. I'm kind of going into that one like I went into the Clemson game. Hope it's a game at the half.
Well, that worked out.
Yeah, and see where it goes. But I think we all have the feeling right now that Bama is on a different level than Clemson. Right?
Yeah.
They feel much more complete.
Well, I've already told you that, and I was saying it, people were trying to separate Bama and Clemson into this separate little category. Well, I mean, Georgia would be my second best team I've seen this year.
That would be mine, too. Yeah, they're the second best team I've seen. Clemson is...
That could be a hell of a matchup.
Clemson's top five.
Clemson's really damn good.
Oh, yeah. They're top five of what I've seen, but yeah, they weren't as imposing, I guess, as some people thought they could be.
Now we've got Jerry Jeudy, Devonta Smith, Irv Smith Jr., Jalen Waddle. Those are their leading receivers. And
I love Smith.
Watch out. And they got Ruggs, too.
Smith is now a sophomore who was a freshman when he caught the game-winning pass in the championship game. He's mm-hmm. great. Ruggs has been really good. I mean, they are... so dangerous now.
Then the Harris brothers.
That's right. Damian.
Najee.
And Najee. Wait, they're brothers?
No. Oh. Well, they are brothers.
Okay.
We're brothers.
I didn't know.
Did you see the Wayans brothers intro? That's a funny intro. Better than the show.
Yes. Well, yes, it absolutely is. Yeah, the idea now that the Alabama running backs are kind of an afterthought when you think about it.
Yeah.
Like they still want to run, but you know what I mean?
And this is a Bama offense that the way to stop them, look, they had some good offenses, obviously, but this is a high octane offense that you got to keep them off the field.
Well, the beauty, there's different versions of beauty. Like you've talked about this, right? We appreciate all kinds of different football. The beauty that they used to create was bludgeoning beauty.
Yeah.
It was sledgehammer beauty. It was, we are going to bash you all day long.
It was marriage, she's going to be a great mom to my kids' beauty.
Yes.
This is smoking hot.
Right, and by the end of it, it's 17-13, but it's going to feel like 50-0. This is 58-7, and it feels like 120-7. That's the scariest part, because you tell me, so far, we have not seen the Bama defense.
No.
They're suspect.
They're trying to figure out their back end. They've got a lot of new parts, and they're trying to. I mean, they're getting better. They looked a lot better against Ole Miss, and that was a good test for them because Ole Miss does have some big time receivers. But yeah, I mean, they're getting it together. But it's not one of the best Alabama defenses we've seen, which are some of the best we've ever seen.
But they still
in college
look,
football.
But they still look damn good in the games you've seen, right?
This one especially, yeah.
Yeah, that's the part of it, like. The 63 or whatever they scored isn't the part that would worry me as much as the 7 on the other side. Ole Miss has some really good receivers and a good quarterback, and they hit one
I'd be worried about both those. The one thing they don't have is that they're 4-for-6 with two different kickers, and that still has been – that's one thing Saban has not been able to do.
He can't control that either. That's
gotta
a tough
get a
thing.
Kicker.
Yeah. You realize that was one play for Ole Miss, right? First play of the game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that was it.
That was it.
It's all they scored. That is silly. All right. A lot of good college football coming up this weekend. Of course, the A&M-Bama game, that is your 2:30 CBS. Also out west, if you're interested in how good Stanford could be, Stanford at Oregon. I have not heard about Bryce Love this week, of if he's playing. No. That's a no. He's no. Still out, right?
I don't know.
Okay.
That's what that was. I'm sorry. I was shaking no.
I'm not sure. And can Oregon even hang out with Stanford?
Like, oh, here we go.
A few years ago, it was a big deal.
He's returning from injury for the Oregon game.
Excellent, excellent. Bryce Love will play. Can Oregon deal with him? And then does Herbert have enough? And can that offense score enough? I'll be honest, I've not watched Oregon play two drives yet.
I have, and Herbert is really damn good. I think his stock may have gone down a little bit last week. But, yeah, this could be a shootout. I'm taking Stanford, though.
We'll talk about a lot of those games as the week goes on. Coming up, we'll get you the big three, including the Cowboys trying to get some help at receiver. It's a familiar name. We'll tell you who it is on the horn. I'm not nice like her. Won't wear white like her. Don't live life with the pages meant to tell. More Jade Byrne.
Indeed.
I like that voice. How old a person are we talking about?
Guessing mid-20s, maybe. Very attractive.
Okay. That never hurts. You know me and the pretty people rule.
Jade or Jane?
Jade. Saint J-A-D-E.
And bird, like the bird, like the animal, yep. Or a Y?
Correct, I.
Okay. Jade Bird. Tomorrow night at Antone's?
That's right. It seems like the show starts at 8. There is an opening act.
She's organically pretty.
I am organically pretty.
Girl next door.
Ladies and gentlemen, girl next door. Let me
Free
see.
Range.
let me see there. Oh, yeah. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. Always looking for new music.
And Jade,
music.
That means a lot coming from this guy.
Yeah.
You said earlier he'd still bag Betty White at 95, 96.
It means even more coming from me.
It does. It does.
Yes. Zach's exactly right.
There's a couple at Cook Walden you wouldn't.
So far as you know.
Speak for yourself, right?
So far as you know. Wait a minute. Cook Walden's a funeral home.
It
right?
is. It is.
I'm sorry. I thought you were making a hospital reference. How dare you?
No, it's a funeral home.
How dare you?
Yeah.
Obviously.
We got that on tape, though.
I draw the line there, Kevin.
You ever taken mushrooms and gone to a funeral home and hung out for a couple hours?
No.
You haven't lived then, Chad.
No. I've never done either of those two things.
I haven't either. I always thought it'd be fun, though.
Much less together.
I always thought in my 20s, I thought that'd be cool. Take mushrooms and go to a funeral home.
Why there, though? There's so many other places to go if you're on the mushrooms.
Well.
A laser light show. A Pink Floyd laser light show.
It would really creep you out. Really
tried peyote on Bourbon Street for Mardi Gras one year.
Oh, my God. Now that had to be fun.
Was that when you went to try and get the, when you went to the hooker?
No,
or the
no.
massage. I'm sorry, massage therapist.
Asian massage therapist.
How dare you?
That was actually the very first night, the peyote experience. The very first night I set foot on Bourbon Street for Mardi Gras in my life, and I went for 6 years after that. That was easily the best night that I had.
Was
on
it really
Bourbon Street? Yeah,
nice.
You're a better man than I am.
Oh, there were moments where I was on one of those side streets, just like off of my own world, perhaps vomiting, but. Then I did get back into the crowd and enjoy myself.
Well, to get the trip with peyote, you have to vomit, and you got to eat a lot of that stuff. You got to put it out like on peanut butter crackers, and you just got to ingest way too much of that stuff.
It's gross. Heard.
Wait, you eat peyote?
Yeah, it's a Native American.
Yep. I thought you smoked drug. Peyote.
You can do both.
Oh, okay.
But if you get it all ground up, then you try. It just tastes awful.
You just want to make everything food, don't you? That's what it is.
No.
Nobody else eats it.
No.
Just you
do. No. I only tried it once. Don't try that, kids.
What's Kevin doing? He's grilling peyote. What?
Stay away from it all, kids.
Who?
I wouldn't say that, but.
Kids, you don't need it. All you need is sports. You just need the natural drug high of sports. That's all you need.
The one that Joe Tessitore has.
Yes, exactly.
He doesn't even take ibuprofen, that Joe Tessitore.
Wit, tell him how good this game is. Boog, tell him what's going on.
It's just not working. It's not working, Chad.
Who do you feel sorry for when you watch those broadcasts?
Booger and Witten.
Witten more so than Booger, but yeah.
I was going to say Booger and Lisa Salters. Those are the two I feel sorry
for. Yeah, I like
for.
Lisa, but she's fine. She's on, I mean, you're not dealing with that.
She
there.
Probably doesn't know, right? She doesn't see the
Takes
difference.
Takes her IFB out.
Yeah. The two big issues I've got are Tessitore probably should be doing college ball because you can't dial that down. And then, I hate to keep asking, why is Booger on the dolly? What's going on?
Well, and when it's
why
not,
are we doing it?
And when it's not great upstairs, then that's when you think, well, why isn't he just up there?
Right. Because you're doing a disservice to, you mentioned this, Jason Witten has never done this.
I think he's doing a good job for his two games.
I do too, but you're putting him at a natural disadvantage when you say, hey, we're gonna have a three-man booth. Oh, cool, so Booger's going to be in the booth. No. Booger's going to be on a dolly rolling around the field. Well, what do you mean? So I have a sideline reporter down there and a guy I'm supposed to interact with, because he doesn't interact with Lisa, but he's supposed to interact with another analyst, and he can't see that analyst?
It's just weird.
That's bizarre.
But I'm also, I mean, Tessitore is just, it's just too fake for me.
I know.
So that's and I've gotten you on it, too.
You have, and I can hear it, and it's not good.
We've thrown out some ideas that Tessitore might be a better fit for than Monday Night Football. We've talked about the WNBA, MLS. I think I have it, though, guys.
Hmm.
WWE wrestling.
I was just thinking the same thing.
He would be great at that.
He would be perfect at that. He really would.
So there's an announcer.
It'd be scripted. I mean, it'd be really good for him.
There's an announcer that does boxing and does some other things and also deals with a little bit of WWE or used to. And his name is like...
Tessitore does boxing.
His name is not Raul Malo. I think that's the lead singer of the Mavericks. But his name is like Malo something, Maro something. Suplex Stu is listening if he is, and he'll text me the name. Anyway, he's fantastic because he's... He overcooks everything he says. But in those two worlds, it kind of helps.
Yeah.
Right?
That's what they do,
like
right?
Like, if you've ever heard Gus Johnson call a fight, it really makes the fight. Man, Gus Johnson.
Does he call fights?
He's called fights for Showtime before.
Huh.
He's done a really good job.
I thought Gus had a good game.
Yeah. I thought he was good. But as we've said, he's a little more natural with it. Tessitore would have been the perfect guy to be calling Hell in the Cell this past weekend in Dallas. He would do a great job calling pro wrestling.
Was Gus doing Texas USC?
Mm-hmm.
Who was the color guy on that one?
Joel Klatt. And Joel
Klatt.
And Joel is such a nerd about football. I think he does a good job. But he's obviously, they've been in his ear about trying to act like you and Gus are a little more buddy-buddy. And it's a little forced on Joel's part. But it's a good crew.
The word partner, it makes me uncomfortable with those two.
Yeah.
Because it does feel like somebody told them to say it.
No, you can tell. There's a couple things that have been fed into
these two teams don't like each other, partner. Like,
well, you're right about that, partner.
Ugh. All right.
Where's your other hand?
it's on the dolly with Booger. All right, let's get you a quick Big Three here.
The Big Three.
The Big Three is brought to you by Dr. S. Brent Brotzman, an orthopedic surgeon providing personalized, empathetic, and cutting-edge care to all athletes from the recreational to the elite. BrotzmanSportsMedicine.com.
Well done.
Booger's fingers are gross, man. I love them.
They are.
Those two football fingers.
All
he's
gnarly.
Got. Crazy.
Well, he was on your Super Bowl team.
He was. He was on the Bucs championship team and the Dungy Colts team.
Tampa 2 tackle. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
So he's got the double Dungy connection there, and Dungy brought him to Indianapolis, and he won the title with Peyton against the Bears in the rain.
Carl Bull Reese would have been his defensive coordinator, who then went to Texas with Mack. Yeah.
He was the D coordinator for that Colts team?
For LSU.
Oh, at LSU.
Sorry,
yeah. Right, at LSU. They had a few defensive linemen back in the day.
Yeah, you had Chuck Wiley right next to him. They were loaded.
They got a few this year, too.
Yes, they do.
They are ready to play. All right, we're talking Texas TCU this week. Of course, 3:30 on Saturday, 11:30, Longhorn Game Day brought to you by Coors Light. Gets cranked up on Saturday morning. Trey was just telling me during the break, the Coors Light Silver Bullet Bar that we tell you about at Gate 25, Casey Studdard.
Uh-oh.
And Lyle Sinline.
Uh-oh.
No, not the autograph session. They're the musical act before. I'm just kidding. They are the autograph guys at halftime. They've got music before the game there, so check that out. And also get registered. Get the Coors Light Rewards app. You can get registered for those Coors Light Silver Bullet seats. And you can also go to our contest page at hornfm.com. Got to be 21 or older. You can get the Coors Light Silver Bullet seats. You could receive vouchers for food. So check that out on our website.
Casey texted me and said that just for charity, he's going to allow kids to come and pull on his beard.
Yeah,
so get on out there, kiddos.
Have you seen that Ryan Fitzpatrick goes and touches beards with teammates before the game start?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, this Tampa Bay locker room is...
You guys may have something cooking.
Right. They are getting along in such a weird, good way. Did you hear what DeSean Jackson said,
by the way? At least your quarterback's touching beards and not thighs.
Good point. Good point.
Or whatever he touched.
Or crab legs. Did you hear what DeSean Jackson said about what they should do in 2 weeks?
Can't take out the hot hands.
Exactly.
What now?
DeSean Jackson said you can't take Fitzpatrick
out. Really? Did he?
Remember, all that stuff Fitzpatrick was wearing at the press conference, it was DeSean Jackson's. That was his idea.
It's his boy now.
Put all this stuff on and go to the press conference because we're 2-0. So if Jameis walks back in, there are some of those guys, it's not going to be as easy as, well, come on, you all love me. Yes, we do, Jameis. But especially if they're 3-0, if they find a way.
Oh, you got to start Fitzmagic.
To beat the Steelers, you got to go with Fitzpatrick.
Jameis wasn't tearing it up. I wonder how Jameis will deal with that.
That's the whole other question there. Yeah, will he try to take the locker room apart because of that? We will see. All right, so NFL last night with Chicago getting a win, Cowboys getting ready for Seattle, Texans getting ready to try to get a win against the Giants, and the Astros are 4 games up. They've got a game tonight with Seattle again, and we talked to Roger Clemens earlier, who's going to be at the ballpark tonight. I didn't realize he was working with Houston a little bit.
I didn't either.
Yeah, that's got to be helpful.
Just to be able to pick his brain, and as he said, he's doing a lot of mental stuff with them. So talking to them about probably just approach and all sorts of things. I mean, this guy's been in the biggest games that, you know, anyone can be in. How many World Series? I was thinking about that as we were talking to him.
How many World Series did Roger win?
One or two with the Yanks.
Yeah, Roger would have been on...
Just think about how many big games he pitched in, really going back into college, too. He was the guy who was on the mound when they beat Alabama in 1983. So he's been through a lot, clearly has a lot to share, and that's part of what the Astros have done. They've done a great job, not only with the analytics we talked about, but also bringing guys in like that. And they're not the only ones. A lot of teams do that.
Subway Series, obviously, with the Mets in 2000, the whole Mike Piazza thing.
Yep.
And the year before, 99.
Okay, so two.
Sweep the Braves in 99, I believe, was the result of that series.
You believe.
Not that I remember
at
all. Yeah, 99 and 2000 are his two World Series titles, and he won that Cy Young Award, 2, 3, 4, 5, carry the
seven times.
That's a lot. A lot of times to win that. And he was the AL MVP in 86. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Man.
Well, you and I have always been on that page, too, and we're with it with a couple guys. I think we all have a pretty good idea of who was using some stuff, but with Bonds, Clemens, and who else we throw in there, they should still be Hall of Famers.
Those two stand in a different group to me.
Yes.
Like, I mean, there can be discussions about other guys.
I think both are going to get in, too.
I really hope so. Really hope so. All right, we got one and done coming up, but before that, Total Men's Primary Care. We told you earlier, the new location, Gaddis School Road, they're having the grand opening. Got 11 different locations around the area, so you are out of excuses. Don't tell me there's not one close to you, because, again, they've got 11 centers in the area. You go to TotalMens.com, find the one that's right for you. If you think it'll cost too much money, they work with most insurance plans, and all health insurance plans provide one free wellness exam each year. So get your wellness check if you haven't gotten that done. Get a flu shot if you need to get that done. Maybe it's just a quick cholesterol test. Maybe you need a quick blood test. Maybe you're like me and you needed a prostate exam. I had a prostate exam earlier this year just to make sure everything was cool. My dad, again, fought and beat prostate cancer, so it's something I've got to worry about. And guys, if you're in your 40s, you need to be getting that prostate exam just to make sure. Plus, you can tell all your friends, you make your Fletch jokes and everything. It just takes a couple seconds. It's not that big a deal. The big deal is not finding out if something is going on. You don't want to do that. You want to know. Do it for yourself. Do it for your family. Do it for your peace of mind. No more excuses. Go to TotalMens.com and take care of yourself so you can take care of everything else. Total Men's Primary Care, the doctor's office just for men. Let's go one and done here.
One and done brought to you by Austin's Premier Poker Club, Texas Card House, September 18th. Join Mel from 104.9 for a special event benefiting Philanthropic with a $500 poker tournament. Visit TexasCardHouse.com for more info.
Here's Kevin Dunn.
All right, I'm going to make this quick here. I got to give Seattle love. Seattle is pretty much out of this thing, but it was a hell of a ride. There's a couple teams in the AL West that I really think helped the Astros out. I know right now Astros fans are thinking, man, we definitely would have been done by now. This thing should have been wrapped up a month ago. People did not see Oakland or Seattle being as good as they are. And right now Seattle, yeah, they're 11 games out, so they're done. But 83-67 as they take on the Astros tonight, and with James Paxton really being their only true number one going in and out with injuries, it's been a hell of a ride for them. They've done a nice job piecing this team together. Oakland obviously has done a great job. They're at 90-60 and only four games out from the Astros. I think the Astros still win this AL West. And Chad, I think it's going to be a good thing for this team. This team is going to have their teeth cut. They're going to be ready to go. This is not going to be a defending champ who's been sitting on our title for a month and maybe getting rusty. And they've got all their guys healthy and back right now. This is really shaping up to be good timing for Houston. And I think this is going to be, at the end of the day, a blessing in disguise. You always want to have it settled by now. But the Astros are going to be, like I said, they're going to have their teeth cut. They're going to be fine-tuned the second they get in.
It will be totally understandable if they don't get this done, because we understand how tough it is. Last team in baseball to go back-to-back, ironically, we just talked about him.
Yanks.
Roger Clemens, 99.
That team,
2000.
Yeah.
That's the last time. Nobody's done it since then. It's a really difficult thing to do.
They had some talent.
And that they did. They did that. And by the way, that would have been four in a row, if I'm not mistaken, right? Is that right? 90s?
No, because they won 96.
No, three in a row.
98, 99, 2000. Yeah. So it would have been three in a row.
The Marlins were in the middle in 97. Yeah.
Yep.
98, 99, 2000.
Mm-hmm.
There it is.
Okay. And then the Marlins were in the middle again in 03.
I didn't even mention that.
Man, shut up.
I didn't say a word.
Get out of here.
I didn't say anything.
Get out of here.
All right, coming up, we'll get you one last thing, and I promise I will not say the name Steve Bartman on the horn.
Does she wear things that I don't? Say things that a good woman won't.
Actually, I wouldn't.
Trey's been playing some Jade Bird today. She's playing Antone's tomorrow night. Kind of like that voice, and I cannot come up with a label for it.
Hmm.
There's a little country to it, and there's a little rock to it, and yeah, I like it. Jade Bird. By the way, Trey, I listened to the Weezer album that Sakamoto wanted me to, Pacific something or other from 2017. Yeah, not bad.
Okay, I haven't heard that one.
Super catchy, and it's like a summer driving album.
Mm.
That's what it is. Good, catchy Weezer.
I haven't listened to a ton of their music closely beyond maybe the Green album, which I think was their third one.
Mm-hmm. They took the color idea to... I don't think there's another band that did as many as they did. They have all kinds of colors in their albums. All right, before we get out of here, by the way...
Oh, man.
What's that?
Oh, man.
That old man sounded like a baseball old man.
Yeah, Brandon Morrow's done for the year.
Does that affect the fantasy championship?
No, not at all. It affects the team I really love, the Cubs.
Gotcha.
Although it's setting down. And okay, go ahead, continue.
Good luck in the fantasy championship, by the way.
Thank you. I am in the championship. Yeah, I am in the championship.
We're all rooting for you.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, Fulton Evans got lit up last night, so already I couldn't even like get through like third inning, and I'm watching football, and I see below, oh, the Braves have given up 6 runs, 3-3. Come on, Fulty.
Welcome to my last week against you.
Oh, I know. You had so much bad luck. I had bad luck throughout the year, though.
Speaking of fantasy, I have a question and one last thing. Here we go.
One last thing.
Pittman!
Okay. Trey dominated me all year through the regular season. We get to 1 week, and it's like, nope.
So if I play a game, a free game on FanDuel, and it tells me that I won money, is it real money?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm in Texas, and you can't... Okay, because it's free, I didn't gamble, technically? Is that what it is?
I don't play that enough. You're going to have to ask Wags this one.
Yeah. Okay. Two things I would do. One, wouldn't talk about it on air, and two, I'd call Jason when you're off.
Because I don't want to brag, but the FanDuel people say that I've got $2.20 burning a hole.
IRS, you better come after this guy. Come after this guy.
Go get him. All right, coming up, it's a Longhorn Blitz podcast. If you haven't checked it out with Jeff and Rod and the guys, good stuff there. Jeff, Rod, and Matt with the Longhorn Blitz podcast coming right up. We'll be back with a Wednesday show tomorrow. Wednesday means Jeff Howe will join us tomorrow to continue to break down Texas and TCU. Everybody have a great evening. See you.
Nah, you're chucking Joaquin.